This is Tech Beyond the Hype, the podcast where we talk to experts and leaders about the latest tech and business trends to figure out what's shaping the future of work. Hello, and welcome back to season two of the show. I am so excited to be back in the recording studio and thrilled to let you know that we have a lot of super exciting episodes lined up for season two. So make sure to like and subscribe to Tech Beyond the Hype wherever you listen to podcasts. To kick things off, we have a great interview that I had recently with my friend Alexander Rochenko. In the interview, Alex talks about his experience of managing a team of developers that was based in Ukraine during the time of the Russian invasion and what he learned about decision making and leadership during times of crises. This is a really compelling interview, and Alex was so open with a story about a time that I'm sure we can all see was very difficult. I have no doubt that there's something in the episode for everyone. So without much further ado, let's get on with the show. Enjoy.
My name is Alexander Rochenko. I'm in IT world for 30 years. Oh my God. And I started from what we would call nowadays a junior software engineer. And I ended up being the chief executive officer of several companies and a board member and a lecturer in several universities across the globe. My current role, I'm actually starting my next big thing as a chief executive officer and co-founder of Avison. It's an innovative IT services company, predominantly focusing on how the real sector are going to benefit from artificial intelligence. But in reality, the scope is much wider. So that's me.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations, first of all, for your new role. When we first met, you told me a lot about your role at IntellectSoft, which is the company that you're just leaving from.
Right.
And specifically, you told me about the impact that the Russian invasion of Ukraine had on the company. I was wondering if we could delve a little bit into that specifically from a leadership perspective. I wonder what it was like knowing that the invasion was coming, and then when the invasion happened, how did your leadership style evolve, and what kind of decision making did you have to take during that time?
Yeah. IntellectSoft is a company of American origins, founded in San Francisco and has offices across the country in Florida and New York and London, Oslo, many places. But historically, vast majority of the engineering workforce of IntellectSoft, all these folks were based in Ukraine. And for us, in reality, the war started in 2014. The capital of the country where majority of our staff were based wasn't really affected by what started in 2014. And definitely that was clear that something is coming. And as any organization, we had the business continuity plan, for example, as a mandatory corporate artifact. But the reality we faced one morning in February 2022 was totally different from what we expect. And actually, frankly speaking, we were prepared in many ways because we learned back in 2014 that the key to success in such a situation is not having a plan, but rather your ability to react fast on a situation that's changing literally every moment. In terms of leadership and the decision-making style, in moments like this, your people need to be confident in their leadership and understand that you are trying to help them as much as you can. I'm always saying when I'm lecturing that IT is a team sport. It's not an individual sport. You cannot really be super successful if you're alone in technology. So you can be a geek doing something in garage, but that's it. You cannot really change the world on your own. So this is a team sport, and therefore your success is about teamwork. You need to help your people navigate in this complex and dynamic environment. So again, overcoming that challenge takes efforts from many people, and these efforts have to be aligned. And that's your role as a leader. The utmost priority at this moment when the full-scale invasion started was to make sure that our people are safe. Because in many ways, technology sector is not about technology, right? It's about people. Even if we think cynically about our business, right, our major asset, our people, because their knowledge, their experience, their passion to do something and create new crazy things, actually that's something that create value to our clients. So helping them and families was their priority for the organization. And the moment you help your people and they're safe and sound, the first thing they will take care of is actually your clients. So that was the approach, if you like.
Right. And would you say that that is something that you will continue? Is that something that you see as a central point for leadership in any environment? Because for me, I think that people and the welfare and well-being of the people that are in the company is fundamental to the longevity of the organization and to success. Do you agree? Or would you say that that's something that is specific to when there's a lot of turbulence or lots of big changes going on?
Well, there are different views on that, I think. So some people are obsessed with processes, for example. Some people are obsessed with use of technologies. Some people, they're more people-centric. I've never seen a successful company where great processes being properly executed and leading you to achieving your goals if you don't have proper people in the organization. In contrast, frankly speaking, I've seen lots of companies, especially early stage startups, where you don't have process whatsoever, but because of having the right people on the bus, as we call it, right, you're doing totally incredible things. So I think that the people is the key. You cannot just rely on people doing everything they can in each and every situation, because you need a certain framework, you need an infrastructure, you need support services and all kinds of enablements to empower these people, right, and give them the right tools and means to do their job in the best possible way. But again, it starts with people, and I think it's absolutely critical for any organization to have the right people at the right place at the right time. And I was lucky that in the Intellisoft team, when the full-scale invasion started, we had a full house, if you like, of all the people in all key roles, and they did their best.
During that time, obviously, you have the people side, then you have the client side, and trying to think about how you would navigate client relationships when they're aware of where the team is based and what's going on there. When we first met, you told me that you had 100% customer retention. And that's, I mean, a huge feat, especially given the situation. Most companies, even not navigating such a big crisis, struggle with customer retention. What do you think it was about your leadership strategy and the team's approach to clients that meant that you were able to maintain such a good level of trust and communication with them?
I can only support what you just said, because generally collaboration in IT services space is based on mutual trust. So again, some people think that our industry is about technology or innovations or whatever. No, as a business, we are buying and selling trust in this industry as well as any other industry in reality. My business philosophy, if you like, is that my teams don't hide bad news. So our partners must be fully aware of what's happening and be able to make whatever decision they think is relevant in this situation, even though the decision is not in our favor. The strategy at this moment of time was very clear. It just be transparent with our clients, with our partners. It was especially important because at this moment, we had very limited information we can trust. And people were, including in Ukraine, they were overwhelmed with fakes and they were simply scared. And as our client, if I imagine myself being in their shoes and they're waking up in the morning, having their cup of tea and watching BBC News, or they're making themselves a coffee and watching CNN in New York, for example, and they're watching what's happening, like something that haven't been seen in generations in reality. So they have a natural concerns, like what's happening to my team in Ukraine, how this will affect their ability to deliver, and therefore how it's going to affect my ability as a business to operate. Starting the first night of the invasion, I was sending daily emails to all of our clients. So normally I was doing that somewhere in the night, because our working hours at that point of time were more or less 24/7. And for many of my clients, it became a major source of trusted information about what happening on the ground in Ukraine. And at least a couple of them mentioned afterwards that I have to print these emails as a book. Because in reality, these emails, this is a theory of the war, how it's seen by civilians and how it's seen by the business. And again, we were not hiding anything. So we were very open in communicating to our clients and partners, like, okay, here we are, some of our people out there, and some of them, they're in safe places, which we established in the country. Some of them we are trying to take out of the country, and so on and so forth. On top of that, many of our clients were in constant direct contact with teammates, right? They were really, really caring about them and looking for any possible ways to help them. We had similar communications on all the levels, so they can approach the engineer working for them in IntelliSoft team and ask the same question they're asking me, what I'm writing in my daily communications is actually something they learn from a teammate. Again, because we are fully transparent, right? And I still believe that was the best we can do in this situation.
Yeah, it sounds like from a values perspective, you went with the value of integrity and openness and honesty, being as transparent as possible with communication with clients and with the level of information that you were sharing with them, becoming kind of a trusted advisor with respect to the Ukraine situation, as well as with the IT and the solutions that you were already providing them. That really makes sense as to why you guys succeeded so much with maintaining your relationships, because we all value openness and integrity. And especially within business, it's not always the easiest of values to come across. There are a lot of organizations which don't put that as their front value, or which potentially say that they do, but then in action don't act with integrity. So it's great to hear how that impacted the relationships with your clients. It's like you added an extra level of value by being extra communicative at a time when it was challenging for you to do so. What was your approach to well-being within the team? Because not only are they going through such a huge challenge, but then also maintaining regular communication and potentially increasing the amount of responsibility that they have during their role. How did you think about that? And what kind of measures did you put in place to ensure that people were looking after themselves from a mental health perspective?
I would split that in two parts. So one part is something we were doing as immediate response to the situation that unfolded pretty fast and pretty dramatically. And then what we did when the situation stabilized, and it's still work in progress. So the first immediate response, again, we've made it very clear to people that, okay, your job now is to take care of your safety and safety of your beloved ones. And our role was to control that process as much as we can and help people navigating and provide them with all kinds of support we can. And that's a regular, maybe over the top communications with them. Normally, as an organization, we had the monthly all hands calls. At some point of time, we were doing that literally on a daily basis. And we stayed connected through multiple messengers all the time. It was corporate and just general purpose messengers, because you never know whether a particular software is going to work in which situation and which region and why. So that was important to understand where we are. And we actually shared a map with the team, and people were tracking where they are, to where they're heading to, who are together with them. And we, I wouldn't say in the real time, but nearly real time, we were watching where our people and what kind of a conditions do they have. And I must admit that I hope this helped these people to realize that, okay, we're taking care of them. And their safety is a priority, and they did their best to secure a safety environment for themselves. There were several cases where it went differently, let me put this way. The most dramatic situation, and when one of our colleagues from IntelliSoft and his family happened to be on the territory that was already occupied by Russians. He lives in a small village, and the Russian tanks already were on his streets. And after the invasion, he and his family happened to be in the gray zone, if you like, and they were very afraid. So we as a company decided that, okay, we want to help. We want to do whatever is possible in this situation. And our people are very creative. So we actually hired an ex-special ops military guy from a private security firm. And this guy infiltrated the occupied territory and just took these people out to the territory which is controlled by the Ukrainian government. So that was kind of a James Bond kind of a story. But that's the reality. And he and his family, they are safe and sound. And actually, the day or two after we managed to help them to escape, their house was shelled. So they have like holes in the roof and in the garden, and, you know. So you don't know what happens in next moment, right? So we just were lucky that we managed to help them. Or another story, the war started on Thursday, and the first weekend of the war, we had a scheduled promotion of one of our clients' applications to the Apple App Store. And our guys did that while sitting in a bomb shelter in the subway. And they did so without telling the client. And actually, that was their choice. They wanted to stay in their city. They refused to leave. And then just after a week or so, they just mentioned that to a client in a casual conversation. And of course, the client's reaction was, what? Where? And those guys, they said, okay, I have two options, right? I can sit and cry in a bomb shelter, or I can put my headphones on. I have my notebook. I have Wi-Fi in a bomb shelter and I can do my job. And that was very interesting psychological effect, because at this time of terrible crisis and a tragedy, in many ways, their job helped them to stabilize and was a link to their normal life from the past. Mm-hmm. And so they did a great job and they kept serving our clients in this situation. And getting back to the original question, in the second phase, when the situation stabilized, we took this mental health question more seriously and professionally. So first of all, we are lucky to have very professional human resources people on board. And at some point we started inviting external experts in psychology and mental health, and they are totally different, and they have totally different approach. And we let our people try with whom they want to work individually or in the group, because for some people, more direct approach to looking at their problems or fears is more comfortable. Some of them, they need just a different approach. And we sponsored that as an organization. We organized that. Some of our colleagues were using the services of these external consultants for a long time, but it works. I mean, whatever it takes to help people, we're going to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. I was thinking when you were talking about the guys that were in the shelter and working with their clients, different example and different scenario, but during COVID, I was put on furlough, which was basically a government scheme that they did here in the UK, where you're basically suspended from your job and paid an income, but you had nothing to do. And I think the comparison between people who were regularly in their jobs, even though they were under extreme pressure, the impact of the loss of that normality, as you were saying, that sense of regular communication with people who you're used to talking to and the jobs that you're regularly doing, that really impacted me negatively. So I completely see where you're coming from with these guys who decided it's either this or have nothing. It's obviously a totally different scenario, but I think the feelings underneath the scenario are very similar in terms of the connection to work being something that provides us with a level of consistency that is very helpful when there's something that is outside of our control, shaking up our sense of normality. What do you think? I mean, is there anything that you, looking back, would have done differently?
I think, of course, if I would known what we know today, the approach probably would be different in the sense that we didn't expect that scale of invasion and that level of risk for civilians. And that's why we took certain actions was from a technology or cybersecurity point of view. And we pre-booked, for example, several safe spaces at the west of the country, because we were expecting or need to move our people. But frankly speaking, I would very much prefer to do more on this. And if we had a clear view on the scale of the invasion, definitely I would very much prefer to move my people out of the country. Mm-hmm. Again, thanks God, no fatalities, nobody injured in our team. But anyway, the risk was there and the risk is still there. So probably that's the only thing I would change. Otherwise, I think the team did a great job.
Thank you for your honesty. I think it's difficult to reflect on these moments and especially on things that could have been different. Taking out the specific context of the Ukraine situation, obviously we have a lot of listeners who are leaders of their own teams and who may be thinking of their own leadership style and what to do during times of uncertainty, unexpected change. What would you say are the key pieces of advice that you would give to them, given your experience?
I think being Captain Obvious, sorry for saying that again, but it's about building the best team and trust your people, right? People will do everything right. You just need to support them in a critical moment. And they have to be sure in your leadership and that they can rely on you in case of need. I'm always saying that planning is good. Having a plan B and plan C is good, but it's not about having a plan. It's about your organizational ability to adapt to changes over the past several decades. The world changed in a way that 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that was easy to split all the activities we do as a business to run and change the business, right? So run the business as your normal routine, as business as usual kind of a thing. And normally for typical organization, not necessarily in the IT space, like 80, 90% of what you do in the organization is about running your business, right? And then there is a small fraction of activities and focus and budgets and resources allocated to what we normally call the change the business, right? And actually, both are important and they require totally different mindset, for example. But nowadays, we cannot really separate that because the amount of changes coming our way is so huge and it's constantly growing and it's unpredictable that our change the business thing, becoming our run the business, it's new normal. I would advise people to work systematically on improving ability of their organizations to accommodate changes and accommodate crises if you want. This is about your ability as a team to react and have a certain elasticity to accommodate all these changes while keeping providing services, delivering great products, serving your clients, no matter what. I think the hit from the pandemic was a tough call for many businesses. I think we in IT did very well in general, but because of the nature of what we do, we are not that dependent on being in the office 9 to 5, and we can be perfectly efficient working remotely. So we already had this benefit long before other industries adopted that. And there are multiple things like that. In many ways, this is about your corporate culture. So is your culture very open to changes in general? Because you cannot say, okay, we're going to be flexible in addressing the challenges related to a next crisis that will happen tomorrow at 2 p.m. and we are not flexible everything else. To a certain extent, getting back to the situation in Ukraine, I think it's in many ways embedded into the DNA of Ukrainians. And now when I'm speaking on that, I'm joking sometimes that the best thing Western companies can do to improve their resilience is actually hire Ukrainians as mid-level managers. Give them the freedom and autonomy to do their magic, because no matter what, Ukrainians will survive and they can help your organization to adapt to this fast changing situation.
So what I'm hearing is be open to change, open to adaptability, and maybe hire some Ukrainians into mid-level management. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it's one of the mandatory steps, of course.
Awesome. Well, that reaches the end of the questions that I wanted to ask you today. So thank you so much for joining me for this episode. It's been an absolute pleasure having you here, and I look forward to speaking to you very soon.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure. And yeah, stay in touch. Take care.
So that's it for today's episode, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. And thanks again to Alexander for joining me for this episode and for sharing his experiences and awesome insights with us all. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more about how emerging technologies and the latest business trends are shaping the future of work, make sure to like, rate, and subscribe to Tech Beyond the Hype wherever you get your podcasts. Tech Beyond the Hype is a Tech Target original production.